Appreciate the introduction. And Darren, thanks for the opportunity to stand up here. I truly, truly delight in the service of the Lord. I see somebody holding their hand up. Can you hear me okay? I have quite a few thoughts on my heart. Actually, Darren called me and set this up while I was in my van driving here. And I had these thoughts in my heart even before he called. So I think, you know, the good Lord has intent and he knows what's going on. Sometimes I think we misunderstand when a minister stands to preach that the blessing is toward the audience. And I've stood here enough times that sometimes I think the one who gets to stand is the one who gets blessed the most. So having said that, I hope that being tired, this is a good sermon and that's able to keep me awake. Also, you know, I saw a plaque my boss and I have an assistant that works with us, and I saw a plaque on her desk and it said, I'm on a 30-day diet. I've now lost 15 days. And the reason I say that is, you know, I think often we have a lot of words to say, but somehow we miss the point. We miss the point. And my prayer is today that we don't just simply lose 15 days or losing 45 minutes or whatever it is, that what we come is truly life-changing, that the Lord will rest on us with His Spirit and that He will give us new strength, new direction. And I'd like to go from here feeling that same strength. I was privileged a couple of weeks ago to get to go to the Michigan reunion, and it really emphasized the Beatitudes to me, because I went hungry and I was filled. And I hope that that's the case today. I hope that we will be filled. I'm trying to think of how to introduce what I want to talk about today. And I saw Renee sitting here, and it kind of brought back something to my memory from our youth. Down at the co-op, there's a... No, I'm not going to tell any stories on it. Down at the co-op, there was a place where a lot of us used to go and refresh ourselves and go swim and stuff. It was a place called the Eddy. And it was just a little place on the river where the water would kind of turn back. And it would circle around and it cut the bank a little wider there, and it was a little deeper and made a good place to swim. And it was a good slow eddy, so you didn't necessarily worry about the danger of it. Recently, out in Ohio, we were reminded of the dangers of the eddy, where there was one a little more intense. There's a little dam, I believe it's on the Little Miami River, that goes through Hamilton, the little town we live in, that it's a little low dam, and as the water goes over it, there's a real intense eddy where the water turns back under and recirculates, and we had a couple people go over that dam and get caught in the eddy and get killed. And I want to talk about the eddy. I want to talk about that place in life we seem to get stuck, where you kind of covered the principles of the gospel. You've had faith and repented and been baptized and have a little trouble and fall to temptation and you commit sin and your heart gets a little changed again and you repent and you do better, and then you commit sin and then you repent and then you commit sin and you repent and you just kind of get stuck. You can't seem to get loose and go on. And I think that It's important for us to realize some things when I talk about this, Eddie. And let me emphasize it by asking you a question. I think that in our lives, no matter what the environment, be it your relationship within the church with your brothers and sisters, be it your relationship with your best friends, be it your relationship with your spouse, there's things that come in and try to tear you apart. And there's a source of those things. And I think it's important that when the devil's trying to separate us, when he's trying to weaken us, you got to look at that and say, okay, now which one does the devil really want to destroy in that? Who is the party, if you think about it? Let's give an example. Like if Ronnie and I were in an argument that just was discouraging both of us. I say Ronnie because he's like my best friend. So I don't think he'll get mad at me, I hope. But, you know, and if we have this struggle going on between us, and it just happens over and over, and it gets worse and worse, and it continues, you look at the both of us, and you can think, well, what's Jerry's history? What's Ronnie's history? And you have to decide, don't you? Who's the devil really trying to destroy there? Anybody have an answer? That really is the whole answer. In these things, the devil is trying to destroy everybody involved. You're not opposed to each other in this struggle. You're together in this struggle for the life of your eternal soul. And I think lots of times, I'm trying to remember the example. I believe it was when they used to build a trap for monkeys. They build it so it would capture several of them together. Because in trying to climb out, they would continually just pull each other back in. So nobody could get out. And I think that, well, you know, there's all kinds of controversies in life, and when you go to school, you'll hear about evolution, and there's a lot of controversy around that. Some people say, yes, man evolved, and other people say, no, he still needs to. But I think it's true that you can look at these examples and see where we do the same thing. You know, it wasn't monkeys, it was crabs. Crabs out on the beach, it's a trap they build for them that they will actually keep grabbing each other and pulling each other back in, and that's what actually keeps them captured. And we do that to each other. We create that, let's call it that eddy in life, that continual churning that I'll call it just getting stuck. We can't seem to move on. And I believe, you know, the Lord's been clear with us that we are to move on. I'm going to start reading, I think, Second Nephi, 14th chapter. First verse, page 163. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you, that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Wherefore, now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way, and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as the word can be. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. If ye will hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. So we see here, once you enter in by the way, once you become baptized, you're not done. You know, you've entered in, and it's time to pray and to get going. You know, I think I'm talking about something here that can be summarized in a word. And it's actually what we've been told to preach continually. And it's repentance. And when you think about that type of an eddy that traps you in life to where you can't get on, it's about repentance. And, what I'm doing is I'm thumbing over to my concordance in the back of my book. I'm looking up repentance. If I only could spell. And as I did this earlier, I was looking at this, and it says, you know, like Matthew 3:8, it says, fruits meet for repentance. It says, fruits worthy of repentance. Works meet for repentance. And as I read a couple weeks ago, preparing for a sermon where I preached up in Michigan, I was reminded with that last verse of the first chapter of James, where it talks about pure religion and undefiled before God, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, in their affliction, and remain unspotted from the world. And what I'm trying to point out is this is all action words that we're talking about. It's not talking about, well, you know, I've really gotten a lot closer to God because I have refrained from everything. I don't do anything anymore, you know. He says we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do. There's a couple places I could turn now. I'm going to choose to turn in the Book of Mormon. There's another place, I think it's in the sixth chapter of Matthew. It says very much a lot of the same things, but I'm going to turn to Third Nephi, chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 45. It's on page 635. And behold, he stretched forth his hand unto the multitude and cried unto them, saying, Blessed are ye if ye shall give heed unto the words of these 12, which I have chosen from among you to minister unto you and to be your servants. And unto them I have given power, that they may baptize you with water, and after ye are baptized with water, behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, blessed are ye if you believe in me, and be baptized after that ye have seen me, and know that I am. And again, more blessed are they which shall believe in your words, because that they shall testify that ye have seen me, and that ye know that I am. Yea, blessed are they which shall believe in your words, and come down into the depths of humility, and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and shall receive a remission of their sins. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, man, light a candle and put it under a bushel, nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And as I think about this, you know, we are given to be light. We are given to be salt. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be showing a better way. In truth, we're supposed to be showing Him. We're still supposed to be showing that example that is our Savior. But we get caught in the eddy. And I think I'm going to go back and look at a couple verses here and try to encourage you to think of it in maybe just a little different way. And maybe be a little more forgiving of each other and a little less forgiving of some of the things we do ourselves. So I'm going to go back here. It says, verse 57, and blessed are they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men do revile you and persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, many times in my life I've actually read these verses and I thought, well, you know, I've been pretty lucky because I've never had any of that. Seems like I try to be a pretty good kid at school. I try to do the right things at work, and I don't feel like people really persecute me. But I'd like for us to look at it on a little smaller scale. I'm not necessarily talking about physically being nailed to a cross and lifted up. I'd like to talk about the little things that we say behind each other's back. And I think many times it's not even a true ill intent that's there. But yet, the damage seems to occur anyway. I went on a bike trip. It's been more years ago than I want to remember. And it was an effort to raise money for multiple sclerosis. And it was kind of an eye-opening experience because along this trip, there was a lot of tremendously long, steep hills. And I'd never experienced anything quite like it. And I'm not really talking about how steep the hill was. But while I was out there trying to crank my bike up these hills, there was literally people standing along the side of the road that had come out of town, and they were saying, "Good job, hang in there, you're doing good." People would come by pushing their bike and they'd say, "Hey, smart, take care of yourself, you're getting there, you know, just take it a little slower." You know, there's other things you can say. You could say, "Hey, buddy, you need to get your reps up. You know, let's pedal a little faster, gear down. You're doing it wrong." You know, and it would be right. I mean, technique-wise, it would be right to tell them that. "Are you sure you drank enough before we came along here? You know, are you drying out?" I think there's a different way to approach things. And I'm trying to just give you an example that we're given to be what? The body of Christ. And I know nobody else suffers from this, but you know what happens when I step on my own feet? I fall down. Anytime I work against myself, it slows me down. And anytime I carry a lot more burden than I should carry, what happens? It slows me down. It stops me. And I like the where it talks about is to lay aside every burden. And I want to additionally say, don't be a burden to each other. Be an encouragement. Find the right way to say things. And I believe that that comes out of that one thing that never fails. What's that? Love. Absolutely. Love. Because I believe that if we can, when we're caught in that eddy, if we can repent and be forgiven and not have somebody continually hold us in a negative way back, continually pulling us back into the trap, if we can be even forgiving of ourselves, get up and get back on our horse, as the old saying used to go when we fall off, and get on down the road. Because, well, if you turn on to, in your Bibles, it's the fifth chapter of Matthew. We got someplace to go. I'm turning to the very last verse. Very last verse, fifth chapter of Matthew, verse 48. It says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And this is not a figure of speech. It is given to us to be perfect. But I don't believe that it's born in us. It's something that's created in us by our Master, when we become submissive to Him. And I believe everybody here, sincerely, everyone within this church has been put here to encourage, to help, to be assistance, to be His representative in helping everybody else. Get here. Get to that place of perfection. But the mistake we tend to... Remember where it talks about judging and having what in your eye? It says a beam in your own eye. And here you are, you're calling your brother out because he's got a little something in his eye. We have to concentrate on ourselves. And when we work on each other, it's got to be with what? With love. It's got to be with love. And if it's not, it will destroy us. We have some place to go. You know, I was here a couple months ago, and I just happened to be here at the right time. I was on the job, and actually I cut out of the classes I was supposed to go to that day because a friend of mine passed away. And so I chose to drive up to his funeral. And it was our brother Gerald Bryant. And as I was driving up to his funeral, there was a song like I couldn't get out of my head. And yet, I won't be able to necessarily repeat all the words, but it just, it talks about, what's it going to be like when we finally stand before Him? I could only imagine. And it says things like, will I stand in Your presence? Or will on my knees, will I bow? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can't imagine. I just can only imagine. Will I dance for You, Jesus? Or will in awe of You be still? I don't think any of us knows how that moment's going to strike us. But I can only imagine. And that is where we have to go. That's where we want to be. And it's not, I finally need to get that victory over Ronnie so I can move on. With the Lord's help and His love, Ronnie and I together, and together with the Lord, are finally going to get that victory over the devil. So we get out of that eddy. So we go on to perfection. So we go on and to our eternal judgment. And we get to stay. Incidentally, I still can only imagine, I can't say for sure, but I thought Gerald would sing hallelujah. He was a singer. Alvin told me we need to start on time, we need to finish on time today, and I'm going to try to do that. Let's turn over to Isaiah. Yeah. And there's actually a couple things I'd like to read over here. I'd like to read the 58th chapter, read some things out of there. 58th chapter of Isaiah, first verse. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Let them seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. I'm getting ready to read the third verse for those that just got there. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore Have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? You know, it says we fast for strife and debate. This calls something to my mind. It's actually going back to the two verses I read to you about whether we are persecuted or not. I think sometimes people get up and they'll preach about, well, there's more to do. We need to be doing the right things and so forth. And I think sometimes we go, well, you know, how do I know when I'm doing enough? And that's part of what I want you to think about. If you read those verses and you find out you're the one that has time to criticize, then there's more you could do. If you're the one that has the time to persecute your brother when he's struggling, and when he's falling down, when he needs help to get up, then yeah, you got more to do. And so I think that's, sometimes you can read those things and kind of store it away in your memory bank. So if you ever find yourself on that criticizing side, you can say, ah, I need to get busy. I'm the one that's wrong. And here, when they were fasting, but it was for strife and debate, you know, it's like the crabs pulling each other back in the trap again. We got to be careful that we don't find ourselves on the discouraging side, where we're actually the ones doing the persecuting, where we're the ones that are doing all the criticizing. I was in a meeting at work, and it was a group of pretty impressive people. A lot of rank, a lot of authority within the company. We're all sitting around this table just burning a few people in effigy. I don't know what you, maybe people don't understand what that means, but we were just criticizing people. And I was just struggling with it. And fortunately, they finally took a break and went to the bathroom and to get a Coke and whatever. And one of the exactly what I'm thinking. We are the species that crucified Jesus. It's born within us. The easiest thing on earth is for us to find fault, to criticize him. With Jesus, he didn't even have fault. And we found so much fault, we could crucify him, you know. And so if we think we're something special sitting around a table and finding fault, I could go find anybody on the street and bring them in here, and they could just have a heyday, and boy, the company would profit. But that's not what we're here for. And you know, that's not what we're here for. We're not here to criticize. We're not here to find fault. There's work to do. There's perfection to go on to. Let's get out of the eddy. Let's get on downstream. We have a master to meet. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? That ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, that thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the other place I wanted to read in Isaiah is chapter 9. Incidentally, when we were up in Michigan, somebody was offering a testimony. I'm trying to remember who it was. But during their testimony, they asked a question, and it was a curious question, and yet people seemed to get it. They understood right off. He asked something about, why does the devil seem to be so successful against us at times? How is it that his darts seem to hit the mark, and it seems to really do the damage? And somebody threw their hand up and back and said, because we all cooperate. You know, the Lord wants us as instruments. He wants us as His instruments to do His will. And you know what? The devil does too. He wants to be able to use us. He wants us to be His instruments to do the damage among us. Let's stop cooperating with him. Let's get on the right side. Let's be perfect. I want to meet him. It's scary to say I can't wait. But I do look forward to it. And I don't want to be on the wrong side. I don't. So let's look at that example. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Is that what I want? Yeah, it is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the reason I read this to you is because if we are the body of Christ, who are you? Wonderful, Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, I had a friend who came in one day when I was working, and he said, hey, I found out something today. And I said, what's that? He said that the Lord is God and I am not. So let's be careful not to be the one that stands in judgment. But let's strive to be part of the body of Christ. And I think that we should strive to be part of this. Wonderful. Counselor. If you listened close in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, it says here, Prince of Peace. It says that if we do His will and He blesses us, we'll be known as the repairer of the breach. The restorer of paths to walk in. We'll be part of that Prince of Peace. And so, I think sometimes we look at being perfect as this shiny goal in the distance, and I don't want you to look at it that way. I want you to get out of the eddy and get on downstream. I want you to go on into perfection. And I think you need each other in that. You need your prayers and you need your Savior. I think I did it, Alvin. I think got about 2 minutes to 12 and I'll close. But allow me to take another minute, and I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me. Dear God, we pray for your peace and we pray for your guidance and for your Spirit to rest upon us. We pray for your forgiveness. And I pray that you would help us in our repentance, that we truly have works, fruit, worthy of repentance, that we start to do all the right things, that we encourage one another. When we fall, that we reach out and grab the other one's hand and lift him up, just like you did for Peter when he started to fall beneath the waves. Lord, be strong. Be on our part. Be our companion. And we sure need you as our Savior. I know that any of us who read your word and try to bear forth your witness know that we are just as weak. And so we pray for strength for each of us, me too. And we love you. Please fill us with that love that never fails, that charity. And these things I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please pray for each other. Become partners. Partners with each other, partners with God. And may He bless every relationship, because He created them. He is the source of all love.
Thanks, Jerry. Remind you to pick up a bulletin back there. It has the schedule for August in it. Also check the bulletin board. It has the schedule for the reunion and the ministers' conference. And we wish the children well as they journey up to camp this afternoon, that they will arrive there safely. We're going to close with hymn number 336. 336.